Hello, and thank you for tuning in to Faith Worship Center's weekly sermon. We hope you are inspired and encouraged by this week's message as we all live to bring more of heaven to earth.
Hey, you guys. It's good to be back. We had a great time up Littleton, New Hampshire. Littleton, New Hampshire is on the border of Canada, man. It's like just not very far away. So we were there last week, had a great time ministering up there. My wife brought a great word. She got up and shared for about 15 minutes and blessed everybody. And then I got to speak, and we had a great time. And that church just amazed us. The people in that church were just amazing to us. It was like, man, this feels like our place back home. Exciting. They had a guy named Mason there. And Mason, listen to this, you guys. This will just knock your socks off. Every Sunday morning, Mason cooks breakfast for the entire church. Every Sunday morning, he comes in. He's a retired guy in his 80s. Cooks a big breakfast for everybody. The kids come up and order pancakes and waffles and sausage and eggs. And they basically, I had an omelet with gravy, hamburger gravy with biscuits. I mean, it was like, oh my gosh, I could get used to this place real fast, right? And then he makes lunch for everyone afterwards. And we just missed the roast beef sandwich week by just a week. But we didn't stay for lunch because it started to snow, and we thought we better get back because we got to go through the Franconian Notch, which is quite the trip. Anyway, good to be back. It's always great to see some people. Some of you we hadn't seen in a while. I just found out that Bob and Jane got sick. They got a little bit sick, and a lot of people have gotten sick. My own grandkids, it seems like every week one of their grandkids is coming down with something. How many have been hearing a lot of colds and flus and stuff like that out there? Yeah, nasty stuff. I'm going back to my standard of declaring I don't get sick. It's the best way to live. Even though I might get sick on occasions, it's still better to say I don't get sick. Even though our grandkids have had it, and they've been over the house, you know, they came over, they were all trying to keep their distance. We're like throwing our arms around them, hugging them, loving them, kissing them all over. We didn't get sick. Yeah. Why should we? Anyway, we have a lot of amazing people in this body, and They're incredible. I felt like as I was sitting there during worship day, I felt like we need to have the elders stand right now. Are they all in here? Jonathan's not here. Jonathan's in the nursery, an elder in the nursery. Cindy, could you stand up? Paul and Leslie, could you stand up? We'd like to give these guys a hand. They're just absolutely amazing. Paul actually preached in my absence last week. You want to hear a funny story about Paul? Anybody here want to hear a fun story about Paul? I used to be, years ago, 1979, I used to be a Sunday school teacher at a church that I attended back in 1979. After I first came to the Lord in 1978, they made me a Sunday school teacher for the high school class. Paul Gosnell was in that class. Isn't that a crazy story? And I can remember Paul sitting there. Paul's always really quiet. I never knew if he really wanted to be there, if his parents made him be there. I never really knew that. You know, a lot of times when I'd be teaching the lesson, he'd be staring out the window. And now here he is, right? Preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, man. I heard he did a great job, too. Fun. So Jonathan and Cindy have been with us many years. Paul and Leslie have been with us many years. And I'd like our leadership team to stand up too. Let's give these guys, if you're here on leadership, don't you dare remain seated. I'll call you out by name. Stand on up if you have a leadership position in this church of any kind. Let's give these guys a hand. Amazing people. And so I guess there's still some people that are still sick, has some sickness going on. I look at this little girl sitting over here in the third row on the left. Little Katie. Dedicated her as a baby. Married her as a woman. And dedicated her children. And I think it's just fun to have that kind of a history with people. Anyway, we've got several authors in this church. And I found out that Lisa just joined a corporate effort to write a book. There's quite a few guys on here that have written this, Free to Give. And I wanted to do a little promo for this. Lisa, you want to come up and share a little bit about what this book's about? Come on up. Everybody's welcome Lisa here. She's it's the last thing in the world she probably feels like doing is standing up in front of a group of people and like sharing. But I watch her
during worship.
I watch her Facebook videos. She does amazing videos on Facebook. She is multi-talented. She can put her cell phone on record and drive down the road and make a video at the same time. Absolutely amazing multitask. Go ahead. Could you?
I actually get a lot of private messages saying, would you be careful? So, my eyes on the road. Okay, so I didn't know this was going to happen.
No, you didn't.
I really appreciate
surprise.
This. So this is a collaboration. My dear friend, Robin Smith, is an author herself. She's written three books. One's called Awakened. One's called It Is Finished. One's called I Am Healed. These are New Covenant, finished work, books that will amaze you. They'll set you free. So she has a publishing company called The Writer Society. It's all grace, like books by authors who are proclaiming the finished work and grace. So she had this, she said the Lord asked her to put her own writing aside to do this project. I don't know why I'm shaking. It's so stupid. But anyway.
Because you're not in front of a camera.
I know. Anyway, this is a subject which is near and dear to my heart as well. Free to Give, it's called. Because as someone who's been walking with the Lord for a while, I hear from a lot of mostly single moms, but a lot of people in general who have been browbeated in the church to give. And they're barely making their rent, and they're getting, like, guilted into the 10% tithe, and they're coming to me, and they're like, feel like I'm going to miss my blessing, and it's all this, like, kind of guilt and compulsion style giving, and we're to be cheerful givers. I mean, the truth is, true giving is going to be more than 10%, you know? Freely we've been given, freely we give. So Robin decided, just after hearing so many stories of kind of people that have been affected in a negative way, she wanted to release freedom into the body of Christ for this subject of giving. So she pulled together a bunch of authors that just ooze grace. They ooze the finished work. They ooze the love of Jesus. So Malcolm Smith, I don't know if you know him. If you don't know him, look him up. He's an incredible man. He's in his 80s. I have been set free by listening to this man's teachings. Malcolm Smith is from Texas. Francois Du Toit, William Paul Young, Steve McVeigh, Paul Goff, Jason Clark. Some of these men you might not have heard of, but they're incredible, incredible teachers and authors. Jason Clark, Don Keithley, Tommy Miller. Oh, my gosh. His teachings lately have been knocking the socks off me. He's incredibly in tune to the new covenant, new creation life. Matt Pandel, Logan Barone, who's like in his 20s, Robin Smith, Corey Rice, and me.
Yeah.
So Robin reached out to me because I have been just so overwhelmed by this love of Jesus, and he became my husband after divorce. I mean, he's always been my husband, but I just didn't know it. And he lifted me up, and he has been providing for me ever since. I've wanted for nothing. When I had like $50 in my bank account, he led me to money I didn't know I had. And he's not a bank. Okay, he's the Lord.
Yeah.
He's salvation. But he has provided for me. And I have a story to tell. And so I have a chapter in the book along with these other incredible... truthfully, it humbled me to be asked with the likes of people like Francois Du Toit. If you don't know him, I mean, I met him in Lydia. And I mean, I literally felt like I was in the arms of Jesus when I was with them because they know love and they know grace. And so anyway.
Awesome.
Yeah, it will. I think it will challenge you in some areas, but it will release you if you have any place in you that feels like, you know, you get triggered. You know, like I'm a free giver because we can't outgive him. Mm-hmm. I don't give out of compulsion or guilt or shame or anything like that, you know. But a lot of people, when I talk to them, they're in like bondage, and like they don't even want to give. I don't want anything to do with giving, you know. Mm. But no, we give freely.
Amen.
You know? And so the book, I think, will set people free.
Awesome, Lisa.
So thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I apologize for calling you up at the last minute, not giving you any warning whatsoever. And I'm glad you came up and shared. Oh, I'm so glad God's in a good mood. Aren't you glad he's in a good mood? You know, he created humanity not to destroy us, but to save us. Amazing. And he created us in his image. Yeah, you and me. We are created in God's image. I love that. And you know who the image of God is? Jesus Christ. Yeah, I'll get into that in a minute. But I wanted to read this because I feel like there's a lot being said about open doors. How many of you have heard open door prophecies for open doors 2024? It rhymes, right? So, of course, it's going to be open doors. In Revelation chapter 4, after these things, I looked and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, said, come up here, and I will show you things to come after this. Scripture I just love. I preached on this scripture many years ago, and it was quite a message. It was before its time, so to speak, and it freaked a lot of people out. Really, honestly, it did. I don't know when the last time I spoke it. I think it was 2007, but it was the... It was just basically the invitation that the Lord has given us to come up in through the open door to access the things that we have been given, freely given, in heaven. Someone's having a good time out there. 2 Corinthians 4:10 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. I love that verse. 2024. I looked up numbers, what numbers mean in Scripture. There's a whole thing that you can find numbers and Scriptures on. And I looked up what the number 20 means. And the number 20 is actually in the Hebrew, it signifies, and in Scripture, it signifies a time of completion. It's Jacob waited 20 years for his wife, Rachel, right? And on the 20th year, it was a time of completion. He got what he was waiting for. Time of completion. I believe 2024 is going to be a time of completion that a lot of dreams that some of us have been waiting for, things to be fulfilled in our lives, healing, financial blessings, restored relationships, family relations restored, friendship relations restored. I believe 2020, we're going to start seeing a lot of restoration, a lot of things coming into completion that we've longed for and waited for. And the number 24, okay, the number 24 in the Scripture is very powerful because it's a multiple of 12. So you've got the 12 disciples and you've got the 12 tribes of Israel. And there's culmination of those two together to come to 24. And we get a picture of the 24 elders as they're casting their crowns down before the presence of the Lord, before the throne of God. They're casting down their crowns in worship. And I believe 2024 is going to be a very powerful, significant, miraculous things taking place in worship. So I think we're going to see a lot of signs and wonders, a lot of miracles, and I think there's going to be things that are going to open up in the place of worship where we're going to be able to see into the realms of heaven. And I feel like there's this movement that is coming to the church. The church has been in transition, and it's been in transition for a long time. But the church has been in transition, and it's coming into a transition where it's going to become the light of the world. I feel like there's this, Jesus said that we were lights. We were lights, on a hill, like a city on a hill. It cannot be hidden. And Jesus said that about us, about the church. And I believe that the church is going to shine. It's going to come through this process of shining. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I feel like there's only really one entity that does not want the church to exist today on the earth, and it's Satan. The devil does not want the church to exist. Plug it out, attack it, debunk it, deconstruct it the best way you can, get rid of it. It's useless. It's an institution created by man. These are a lot of the arguments that go against the church. Let me tell you, Jesus created the church. He created the church when he said, come follow me. You guys okay today? Everyone all right? Yeah, it's like, okay. Because you know what? You are the church of Jesus Christ. You have a calling. You've been placed here for such a time as this. And you're survivors of COVID. I got to figure, if you can make it through COVID and still smile, you're doing really good. And man, what a rough time that was, you know, through that whole thing. And still somewhat holding on an effect. But here we are. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. A lot to speaking, you know. I jokingly said I don't get sick anymore, but I'm really not joking. I don't get sick anymore. I'm producing something with my voice that's telling my body, telling my ears, telling my body, telling my soul, you don't get sick. We said, what is the song that we sang today? My champion, you are my champion, right? Every time I open my mouth, miracles come pouring out. Well, how many of you have ever really lived that here? Some of you have lived that. Every time you open your mouth, a miracle comes out. All right. These songs, I'll go back to the 1980 at another church. An older guy in his 70s came up to me and said, I feel like a hypocrite every time we sing that song. He was talking about a song, How Blessed Are the Feet of Those Who Bring Good News. It was a song we used to sing, Our God Reigns, right? And every time he sang it, he felt like a hypocrite. And I said, why? And he goes, because I don't bring good news everywhere I go. You see, we somehow connect with the reality of what we translate naturally. But God has always wanted us to translate into a heavenly language that changes us and creates in us a dynamic that in our natural mind we can't see. So a lot of times we have songs like that, you know, every time I open my mouth. I just had a feather fly in front of my eyes. Every time I open my mouth, miracles start breaking out. Okay? I have the authority that Jesus has given me. All right? Years ago, I preached a message on lying the truth to yourself, and I think this was referenced recently, that there are times that we live so much, we get caught so much up in our experiences, our natural experiences, the things that affect us and experience in a negative way, that we get caught so caught up in that negative, that whenever we have a truth presented to us, we feel like we're so far away from that. So what we have to do is, because our experience has been lying to us all this time, we have to actually see the truth and then lie it into us. It's like we have to lie it back through our deception in order for the truth to take root and lodge where it belongs in you and me. Whew. All right. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. What's he saying? He's saying, focus. Keep your focus on the things that are unseen. Do you know that it's possible that our thoughts are eternal because they're unseen? Right? I see Mike sitting in the back there. I see his natural body with his head bobbing up and down, his glasses and stuff. But I don't know what's going through his mind right now. For all I know, he could be thinking about lunch. But he's listening. He's doing it. Our thoughts are in an unseen realm. And I feel like there's you know, when God created man, right? He creates man in his image. He creates him. Places him in a garden. Gives him the authority to name all the animals. Gives him the authority to rule and reign over the earth. Created in God's image. And this is exactly what he said. Let us, plural, create God. Or create man in our own image. Yeah. Let us create man in our own image. Exciting. I mean, the Apostle John writes in the first chapter of John, he writes that Jesus created all things. So God and Jesus are there creating man in the image of God. And that man, Adam, before sin even entered in the world, you realize when Adam walked on the earth, there was no sin. There was no sickness. There was no death. No one got angry at each other. He didn't get angry at his wife, and his wife didn't get angry at him. They lived in perfect harmony. No sin was to interrupt the relationship. Perfect harmony. And I believe that's what God had in mind when he made us. Perfect harmony. And I believe in 2024, we're going to start seeing perfect harmony. Your feelings, okay, not just your thoughts, but your feelings might be linked to eternity. I believe this is how God designed us. He designed our thoughts to be linked to eternity, and he designed our feelings to be linked to eternity. Now, feelings can be they can be not so dependable, right? You might be feeling something, and it might be completely off. How many have perfect feeling? Right? It's like, yeah, I see that hand in the back there, Stephen. Character you. Yeah, it's like, not really. Someone can say something and it can hit you the wrong way and you can start feeling all kinds of things about that, And I believe that our feelings were meant to be balanced, and I believe they were meant to be whole, and I believe they were meant to be linked to that eternal perspective of heaven, to where there's unity and to where there's goodness that we see in each other. Instead of having these feelings of suspicion and someone's talking about me or someone said something bad about me, instead of having all these feelings of, you know, they don't really like me, they must not care for me, blah, 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 you know, whatever that goes on, you know, how about if we just flip all that and just start getting the right perspective and the right feeling and start feeling like Jesus felt? Start having thoughts like Jesus had. I love the scripture where it says he walks into a room and he knew their thoughts. Woo! That would be cool, huh? Not just to think you know their thoughts, but to actually know their thoughts. Wow, yeah. Something to reach for. When our thought life is linked to our connection with eternity, it will affect how we live. And I believe that's what that open door is all about. There it is, standing open in heaven. God never closed it since John saw it open. It's remained open. And there's been an access for us to gain access to our eternal things, the things that matter, the things that are not temporal, but the things that are eternal. And we get to gain access to those. We get to take those to ourselves. You are right now living in eternity. It's not after you pass this earth, but right now you are living in eternity. You are present in the eternal state right now, the state that God created you to be in. You might be saying, well, this message is eternal right now. But it's not, because I just kind of got started, so give me a break. Now, I believe that we will move, live and move and have our being as we connect to that eternal stream of heaven. Paul is sitting in a prison cell when he wrote, "We have been seated with Christ in heavenly places." All right, where is he sitting? In a prison cell. In a prison cell. What's he doing? He is prophesying a truth into his life, that he knows that even though his physical body is in a prison cell, at the same time, he has been seated with Christ in heavenly places. This is how we get the access, you guys. It's not how good we are, how right we are. It's about connecting to the eternal God, the eternal Christ, the eternal love, and walking that out in faith. Yesterday, we had a celebration of life service right here for Ray Firestein, and amazing, just an amazing time. And the family did his little memorial right up on his memorial like an obituary. And I've known Ray since the late 90s, and I found out things about Ray that I never even knew. And as I was reading that obituary before the service, it hit me. Why do we wait until we're gone before we get to know people? Why don't we get to know people now? You know, why didn't I know that Ray loved drama and was in a high school drama, the lead character of Oklahoma? I knew some things about him, granted. But there are a lot of other things that I didn't know. I look around, you guys. Look in this place. You guys make this meeting, okay? You make it happen. You make it what it is. God's presence is here. He shows up. But you show up. And you carry Christ, the hope of glory, inside of you. And when you come here, you have a dynamic and a component to move with him and have your being with him. You. This is not about me. It's not about the pastor. The church is as good as the pastor makes it. Oh no. You have been created in God's image. You make this place what it is. We're all together. We're here. We have amazing teams working every week in here. putting things together and helping people come into that reality that they are created in God's image, that they're not sub people. This, all of this, right? All of this is like a light affliction compared to the eternal glory that we've been destined for. I firmly believe that. I remember preaching this back in 2007, and this was before its time too, but I firmly believe that the day is coming for the church to literally be a light for this world. That there are going to be, I know this sounds weird and science fiction and everything, but I don't believe it's science fiction. I believe it's a truth that we need to prophesy to ourselves. That there are going to be signs where God visits us and it's going to change our physical appearance. That I believe like light beams will be coming out of our fingertips. Well, right? No. But this is because there is an eternal glory that is in us and that is upon us even now. We don't have to wait until we leave this earth to shine like the sun. And speaking of the sun, I had a strange thought this morning. I get strange thoughts. I think we're going through, on Wednesday nights, we're going through how God speaks to us. And we're finding out that God speaks to us in many different ways. We all hear God differently in different ways. Some feel, some hear, some have thoughts. Some get words, some read the scripture. And that's mostly how God speaks to them. There are many different ways that we can hear God. And I feel like I hear God through my thoughts. And I get these crazy thoughts once in a while. It's like, where did that thought come from? And it's like I'm looking out my living room, you know, and it's before the sun comes up and everything. And I'm up and I'm looking outside. And all of a sudden, it's like, who gives the sun all that gas to keep burning? Strange thought, huh? Just out of the blue. How is it the sun does not burn out? How does it just keep burning? I know, it's a strange thought, I know. I have these deep thoughts that go from time to time. But of course, immediately the answer came is God. He put it all into place, moved it all into being. How is it that the earth stays on an axis? That apparently if it goes off 1 degree, we are in total destruction, chaos. God, the great designer. And you'd really have to stretch a long, long, long out, a long way outside of what you're designed to be to think that it just suddenly happened and all evolved. I mean, seriously, you'd have to go way, way beyond from what you were designed to be to think, have that kind of a thought. He has ordered everything into place and he keeps everything into place. The sun, you know, they have these like solar flares. So I was thinking of that this morning. Like, what is a solar flare? What is that? You know, they now that they have telescopes powerful enough to focus in on the sun and see these flares that come up. I actually, when I was in, had a telescope. I actually had a telescope on the sun. Took a picture of it with my camera. And three of those flares were right there in the picture. They came out like brown dots. And it's like, what? Maybe that's fuel. Like wood or something hitting the sun to keep it burning. I don't know. But that thing, you just think about this, because we're down here in the natural. If you have a fire, you need to feed the fire. You got to put things on the fire to keep it going. The sun doesn't need food. It just burns. On and on and on and on and on and on and on. It burns. It does its thing. On and on and on and on and on. And in a few months, spring's coming, baby. few months. Right now, that sun's not really hot down here, is it? But in a few months, it will get hot again. And then we'll all be complaining about how hot it is. Oh, it's so hot today. Listen to this, Colossians chapter 1, 15 to 18. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. Whew. He is incredible. I find it very ironic that people think they know everything about God there is to know. It's such a statement of arrogance. It's hard to even believe that it could be said and uttered. Because we don't. He's bigger than our own concepts. Let's all stand together. Right? In him, you live, you move, and you have your being. Even when you don't feel like you're moving and living and having your being, you're still breathing, you're still alive, and you're an eternal person. Father, thank you for who you are and all that you have given to us. I make this public declaration that I thank you for the cold. I don't understand it, but I thank you for it. And I thank you, Lord, that you've put us here. That you put us together. That we're not an accident, not a biological experiment. We're not pawns on a chessboard. But you made us in your image to live and move and to have our being. I ask for this year that we will gain access into the eternal things of heaven by going through that door that stands open in heaven. And I ask that we have this access without us physically dying, but that we have the access of going through and receiving the glory that you intended for humanity to carry since the beginning. By the grace of Jesus Christ, I ask that 2024 open new doors of understanding and revelation as to your depth and as to our purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to this week's message. If you'd like more information about our church, visit faithworship.org.